welcome to Money Radio, WPSE's monthly broadcast of the Rotary Club of Erie meeting program at the Sheraton Erie Bayfront Hotel. Today's speaker is Julie Slomsky, Executive Director of the Erie Port Authority.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is my pleasure to introduce today's lunch speaker, Julie Slomsky. In May of this year, Ms. Slomsky took on the role of Executive Director for the Erie Port Authority. Port Authority's mission promotes industrial, commercial, and recreational opportunities on Presque Isle Bay and adjacent waters. Prior to taking on the Executive Director role, Julie had spent the past 9 months serving as the Port Authority's Deputy Executive Director. Before coming to the Port Authority, Slomsky served as the Chief Clerk for Erie County, acting as Chief of Staff to 7 County Council members. She has also held roles locally with Logistics Plus, as Human Resource Manager, and later as Special Project Manager / COVID-19 Response Leader, and with CMI Energy as a Logistics Specialist. Slomsky spent several years of her professional career in the political realm, as Chief of Staff for Representative Ryan Bizarro, and later as Northwest Regional Director for the Pennsylvania Office of the Governor under Governor Tom Wolf's administration. In that role, Julie acted as liaison between the Governor's Office and 15 counties in Northwest Pennsylvania, securing over $150 million in state funding, 100 of which was designated for Erie County, and worked directly with local governments and community leaders. Ms. Slomsky is an Erie native and graduate of Mercyhurst Preparatory School, holds a Bachelor of Science degree in General Management from Penn State Barron. Here today to discuss more about her current role as Executive Director of the Erie Port Authority and projects on the horizon, please help me welcome Julie Slomsky.
Mr. Pine, I mean, I've learned more about myself than I guess I realize. So,
this is your life.
Well, thank you for having me, everyone. It's definitely a pleasure to be here. First and foremost, thank you for what you do for our community. Getting to really, you know, have a conversation and learn more about it, and just hear everything that we just heard. Thank you for what you do from that perspective. It's so important, and you know, it's missed at times. So thank you. I do want to apologize. I'm new to wearing regular shoes again. Gus kept me extra busy this summer, so I've been in a boot for a while. So if you see me swaying, I'm all right. I'm just learning how to wear shoes other than Hokas and Birkenstocks. But you know, my goal today is to really help shine a light on what we do from the Port Authority perspective. You know, first and foremost, you know, everyone's like, it's the Port Authority. This building we're in right now, this is the Port Authority? No. I mean, it's another little, I guess, aspect of what Gus does from his perspective. But you know, years ago, I mean, it's truly a city, you know, the mayor's authority, if you will. Years ago, we were given all this land here in the Bayfront and said, okay, do something with it. And here we are. Some parcels are sold off, other parcels we kept, what have you. But in 1974, the city officially created us as the Erie Western PA Port Authority. So from that aspect, like Gus mentioned, from, you know, we have that recreational side, but that true port industrial side as well. And I'm going to guide you through all of that today. As Gus mentioned, I'm new to the job from this perspective. From the public service perspective, I think is the most exciting thing, that we're still able to continue on good work that I've had in previous positions to come into this position. So, yeah, I've spent the past almost 13 years working with the Port Authority in some capacity, whether it was on the legislative side from the government perspective, the logistical operations side from Logistics Plus or CMIT, or then serving as a board member as well. So to talk about our board, we have 11 board members that, you know, govern and oversee the Port Authority that I report to. So 9 of those members are appointed by the mayor. One of those members is appointed by the Secretary of Transportation here at PennDOT, and one is appointed by the governor as well. So we have a nice solid board of 11 community leaders that give a lot of their time to making sure that we're successful. You know, I guess one thing people talk about when they talk about the Port Authority, besides, you know, what we do here on the water, is recently talk about, we've had a lot of transition over the past couple years. And we had a lot of folks that have chosen to go on to other paths or help the community in different ways. So in my short tenure, I've been lucky to be able to create a team. We have a nice solid team in place and work with other individuals in the community. Joanna Puccio is our new office administrator. She's been with us for several months with a nice strong background in customer service, something that I thought we really needed to focus on. Anna France from our West Bayfront, coming on in the deputy position to really help me on that whole strategic planning side from that perspective, but an area of opportunity, you know, for me. And then most recently, Erica Knight, I was working with the County of Erie, has joined us as our CFO. So to have an opportunity to come into, first off, this position, but to be able to create this team around me that has various different strengths that I might not have, has definitely been an opportunity from that perspective. So just wanted to provide you with like a brief look into what we do and what we're all about is my goal. But I wanted to give you that background first. So most importantly, as everyone knows, you know, we're known, in my opinion, for, you know, maybe the first two there. So, of course, the Great Liberty Park and 8 Great Tuesdays. We're so lucky this past year and continuing on with conversations to work with Gus and the team at Erie Events. From our perspective, you know, we have a small team. I mean, 50 people during the summertime when we have concessions and we need folks helping at our campground. But normally there's just 20 of us. And for 20 of us to be able to manage events and to pull them off successfully for the community is a challenge. So for us, there's an opportunity to partner with the expert in events. They do such a fantastic job, why not partner? So that's one thing that we've really wanted to focus more on, especially in my tenure, is how do we partner and who are these great partners to work with? So yes, Liberty Park is something we focus on, we pride ourselves on, and again, our partnership with Erie Events, but that's not just what we're all about as well. I mean, we have the tower, and everyone says, gee, what are you gonna do with the tower? I mean, maybe at some point we're going to have to upgrade it, but, you know, I think everyone, like, what, 70% of Erie will have to change their logos, so I want to do my best to make sure I'm saving money from that perspective and not causing everyone strife. But you know, we have this Bicentennial Tower. It's beautiful. It just needs to be modernized. I laugh sometimes, you know, coming in. We do our best to, you know, change out those lights and decorate those, but they really are more of an old-fashioned spotlight with just a little sheet above it. But you see the great lights that the Scotts have or Great Lakes Insurance has, and we want to be a little bit more modern from that perspective. But I still think it's a beautiful tower that folks, of course, come to visit. Right now, we have an operator of that tower as well, again, working with our partner, with Mr. Sedney and his team. The Land Lighthouse, I think, is... I honestly want to say one of our most forgotten assets in a way. Over there, right off of Lighthouse Street, of course, on the east side, with Anna coming on as our deputy executive director, she wanted to focus on, you know, how can we highlight some of our different assets? And we did this event, we're calling it the Bayfront to the Lighthouse event, working with EMTA to shuttle folks around and so on and so forth. And they're used to having about 20-some visitors on a Saturday. We were able to bring them just close to 50 visitors. To say, I've lived on the east side my whole life and I've never been here. It was a private dwelling for many years. And since then, we have now partnered with Lake Erie Lights, you know, the group that manages the Presque Isle Lighthouse, the Lake Erie Lighthouses, excuse me, working with that team, Avery Shaughnessy Comfort and her team. They manage it. Again, the grounds might be under our purview, but working with them to manage from that perspective. So if you haven't been there, it is a beautiful sight to see. It's a lot to climb those stairs. I will admit, don't ride your bike there and then go to climb the stairs. It's not a good idea. But these are three, I guess, focus areas that folks say, well, that's all you do, right? You're just kind of focused on that. Yes, sometimes. Maintaining the grounds, making sure everything is welcoming and kept intact, yes. But again, working with great partners from that perspective. Fun facts we have about us that I guess people might not realize. I mean, here on the Bayfront itself, in addition to what, you know, the Convention Center Authority has and what the Scotts have, we have nearly 600 waterfront acres. So Bayfront, and of course, extending as we move down towards East Avenue as well. With that, there's 1,200 boat slips in total. And that's not, we don't manage every single one of those slips, working with our partner marinas from Commodore Perry Yacht Club to Presque Isle Marina to, you know, Perry's Landing and Bay Harbor East and West. But we do have our very own Lampy Marina. Of course, I'm going to highlight that in a little bit, but we have 253 slips there that our team does, you know, oversee that. 15 public boat ramps. So folks always say, hey, where can I launch my boat and not have to belong to a club? We have 15 all throughout our footprint as well, from East Ave all the way over to Chestnut Street there, right next to Erie Waterworks. One thing that's exciting for us, and I'll highlight that a little bit as well, is our public fish cleaning station. We have a lot of anglers in the room, maybe a few. At first I was like, ooh, what are we going to do with this? I kind of got nervous. It was a project that was started prior to my arrival. I've been told it's the Taj Mahal of fish cleaning stations. It was about a $500,000 investment, but thankfully for us, working with the Sons of Lake Erie, working with the Fish and Boat Commission, our only responsibility is maintaining it. I didn't realize until recently the true need. A lot of anglers are cleaning their fish on the side of their marina, cleaning their fish in their parking lot of the marina, or taking it home, cleaning their fish, and burying it in their yard. This is a true public fish cleaning station. If you haven't seen it, it's really impressive. They bring their knives and all their equipment, and they can, you know, wash off their fish, and all the remains get moved into a refrigerated unit. They just walk right in, and we have big storage units in there. And then a company comes and picks it up, and they become fertilizer. So it's kind of a win-win all around for folks to be able to use this. Right now it is closed, but between May 1st and October 31st, it's open 24/7, and you would not think it's used all the time, but it is. I talk about this fish cleaning station because the famous Erie Gator, if it did exist, I would think it would be near the fish cleaning station with everyone coming in and out and smelling it from that perspective. But we've yet to see the gator, and I guess the fish cleaning station for therefore is still intact. I talk about our 56 campsites because people are like, you know, we have some campgrounds in Erie. We do, but to have one truly in the city, I think is pretty impressive. So the Lampy Campground, as you go right just a little bit, you know, east of where we're at, you know, going to Port Access Road and you're going winding around, I'll have a little picture of that shortly as well, you have our campground and our marina. People ask, you know, we're running a Port Authority, why do we have a campground? I mean, again, we're lucky to have that opportunity there. We had 42 sites, and we've just recently expanded because there's been such a need. We had a grassy area there, just was simply used, you know, to recreate there, you know, throw a football or the dogs to run around, and then decided, let's develop that. It's closer to the water. Let's create that into, you know, an additional campground area. So we have room there for campers and also, you know, for tents. As I'm talking about all this, though, you're probably thinking, okay, she's saying all this. Where do they get their money from? I mean, you know, we're lucky that, sure, you know, we have to charge for the campsites or charge, you know, for folks that are, you know, renting a slip at our marina, what have you. But we're lucky to be funded by PennDOT and through their multimodal fund. They have, you know, obviously the three ports between Philipport, Pittport, and ourselves, all very unique. I like to brag, we're the only Pennsylvania port on the Great Lakes, so I try to, you know, work that angle anywhere I can. But we're lucky to have that opportunity. And one thing that we really want to start focusing on is, can we pursue other dollars? I had pursued a large grant with the federal government this year. I was hoping to be successful. We have yet to be awarded, but it was an $11 million grant to help us expand a boat slip that we have. Doesn't sound exciting, but it is, because it could help out, which I'll get to shortly, our industrial core with Don John and Carmoose. So for us, people always are worried about, you know, what are you doing with taxpayer dollars? Yes, we're lucky to get those PennDOT dollars, but we have a reporting system with them. We're very mindful on how we spend those dollars, but wanting to find different ways to invest and expand into our footprint and how we can continue to provide this resource with public access for the community. I mentioned the Sons of Lake Erie because we're so lucky to have them for two reasons. Number one, they keep us on our toes. And if there's ever a moment that we are not, you know, we have a concern with public access, they let us know. Right, Gus? We hear that often. And we thank them for that because, again, they're not only great stewards of our waters, but also they're great advocates. We wouldn't have that fish cleaning station if it wasn't for them. We wouldn't have so many other opportunities. So I'm always thankful for them. I learn from them every day. But to have these advocates here to help us out is positive. Positive as well. So moving on, in terms of kind of a nice little highlight about us, the first image over there, and I want to point the pointer the wrong way, and really, there we go. This is our campground. And this is a site right on our website, which is kind of cool. So folks are able to go take a look and say, oh, I'd like to rent a site. What am I looking for here? Anything green is available. Anything, you know, red is already reserved. And one thing we're working on now is putting on different photos of the site. So people can say, where is the water? I'm not sure. Is the water here? Where's the water? I mean, technically, the water is right here. But this way, they have an idea of what they're looking at. So we have that all the campsites are open from May 1st till October 31st. And you wouldn't believe folks that are coming in constantly. I mean, just ready reserving now for next year. But again, to have a true campsite in the city is pretty cool and exciting from my perspective. It's a lot of work from our team to maintain, but again, it's another way to welcome folks, you know, to our community. And there's a lot of folks we've talked to. It's about right now about 25, almost 30% of local visitors as well. So they're coming here. Folks that will say, hey, I live in Summit or I live in Waterford. This is my chance to come closer to the city so I can fish or boat or what have you. The second picture is pretty cool. At first, it looks like it's our industrial side, but this is actually the Lampy Marina right next to the campground. We're very excited this year. As of right now, began on November 1st, we're replacing all of our docks at our marina. It's about a $7 million project, fully funded by PennDOT. We're proud to say we came in under budget, knock on wood. We're going to see how that all works out. But again, good local jobs, you know, going into this from that perspective. So it's a pretty old marina that needs to get some love. So from that perspective, we thought this will be a priority for us to work with PennDOT and secure those dollars. So we're pretty excited. We have Austin, Church and Murdoch, and Scobell are working on that right now. So the only challenge is we have to shut down our parking lot, which is always 24/7, 365 open, because it is an active construction zone. So I will reference our website later, but if you're ever bored and want to take a look at something cool, I sometimes when, you know, I got somebody that, you know, chit-chat with me on the phone for a while, says, can you hold on for a minute? I'll go, I'm like, okay, I'll take a look at the website, see what we have going on. But we have a live view, thanks to Fish USA, right in our marina, so yeah, kind of keeping an eye on everything we have going on. So working with the Suns, and again with Fish USA, we have a beautiful camera to focus on that. So next little thing to check out on our website. Then over here is Mr. Wolfram, Carl Wolfram, retired from Northwest Bank. I'm sure some folks recognize Mr. Wolfram. He's our treasurer, and he was giving us a lesson on how to clean fish at our fish cleaning station, breaking it in there, just this past May, right at the beginning of May. But it's, again, another asset for us that, you know, did not cost us anything other than maintaining. But again, working with that stamp for those that are fishermen and various anglers, you have to pay, you know, for your license perspective. All those dollars go elsewhere. Those dollars came back to us thanks to the Sun's advocacy and thanks to the Fish and Boat Commission. So that's pretty cool from that perspective. So, you know, people ask, are you a boater? I'm not. I appreciate boaters. I want to offer them as much as we can. Same thing with the anglers. I've tried. The Sons of Lake Erie tried to get me to fish, and I think I did okay. But then when I had to put my finger in the mouth of the fish, I kind of had a little panic attack there. But it was a it was a good experience nonetheless. But it's just, again, I can't stress enough this. I mean, we have a wonderful county with so much to offer, and especially one that has this wonderful baseball team with the best general manager, I think, you know, in the history. But besides that, but seriously, this is a forgotten area in our Lampy District, as we call it, because it is so hard to get there in a way as you go down Port Access Road and go over. But right here in the city, we have a campground. We have a fantastic marina that's going to be better by next May 1st, and then this fish cleaning station as well. So it's something, again, I always want to make sure I'm highlighting. Next, heading into our industrial side, and this is something that I personally want to really focus on, because this is how we're going to get our federal dollars and get our fair share, as everyone always says, of funding. So we have a terminal that's ran by Carmuse Lyman Stone. They're our terminal operator, Erie Sand and Gravel, as they're formerly known. So this is the 1,400 feet of dockage. You know, people, well, what does that mean? Well, for the boats to come and dock and you know, whether it is dredging the sand here, picking up, you know, whatever it is. It's mostly sand here from Lake Erie. There's limestone, of course, you know, from the various different quarries that they're shipping in as well. And at one point, there was windmill blades, so we might go back to that. But our goal is, how do we make use of, you know, this dockage that we have, over 653,000 feet in storage? Is there an opportunity to, you know, will container ships come? Maybe not container ships, but how do we expand in our shipping from that perspective? And that's where I'm so excited to have my relationships, not only in the government side, but in the logistics side as well, to hopefully pursue those opportunities. So those conversations that we're in. The tonnage doesn't sound like a lot, but to have over 953,000 pounds coming in and out of this port is pretty exciting. We're not going to be Philiport. Pitt Port doesn't have any of that size from that perspective, being a unique port themselves as well. But we can't compete with them. For me, it's you know, if people say, who are you competing with? I think we're competing with everyone on the Great Lakes, but again, we're working together from that perspective. So our goal is to get that tonnage up. And people say, well, again, how will you do that? That's what we'll focus on, these different grants to, again, expand the parade slip like I wanted to have that opportunity to allow them to bring in additional vessels and hopefully bring in, you know, additional, you know, opportunities from the freight perspective. The shipyard, of course, we have Don John Shipbuilding, as most folks are familiar with. 200,000 feet of production area, which is pretty impressive, and the 4,000 feet of dockage as well. As I'm sure a lot of people saw this past winter, we had double vessels in both of those terminals. Both of those slips. The Holland slip that we have, and then, of course, the Parade Street slip. I mean, I got nervous myself because, I mean, I don't think my wingspan is great, but, I mean, even I was going to be hitting both of those vessels. Like, we were doing an exercise, and we would stand and look. It's like, oh, boy, they were very close, and that was our concern. A lot of captains get nervous about these large vessels, these 1,000-footers coming in, and how does that work from the winter perspective? They're coming to, you know, get repaired at Don John or coming to, you know, pick up a load or drop off a load at Carmuse. We had to make sure we're making room for them. One thing that I'll have this picture shortly is our dry dock. We're really excited about this dry dock. It was an investment from PennDOT as well a few years back, and it's one of only two on the Great Lakes. So what the dry dock simply does is, you know, provides that opportunity to really see that bottom of the vessel, allow Don John to really fix it and see what the issues are on a true dry dock, you know, surface from that perspective. So we have a nice little photo of that as well. But it doesn't sound like it's a big and sexy, you know, element until you really see it up front. And it's pretty cool from that perspective that we only have one of two on the Great Lakes to provide that. A lot of these vessels, they get banged up, and that's the big concern. A lot of these captains are reaching out. Don John has a pretty long waiting list of allowing these vessels to come in from that perspective. So we're pretty lucky, again, to have that investment from PennDOT to allow us to have that large dry dock. So what I have here is just a couple little photos. Am I doing okay on time? Okay. Here is our terminal, again, Carmuse. As you're going right down, you can either go through Port Access Road, where it's UPMC on the bayfront there, and then also Sunburst. You can go down that road there. It's like, you know, right in the, it kind of dead ends right to this area here, you know, where it's considered our terminal, or go down, you know, Port Access Road as well. Right over here on Ore Dock Road is, of course, the big sand piles that you see all the time. I like this view from the aerial view to see it, but I also like when people are here at the tower, you know, or looking at, like, what is over there? What's the piles of sand? Pretty cool from that perspective, with the sand coming right out of the lake, of the bay, dredging that and being able to turn that sand around and being used throughout the region and then, of course, throughout the U.S. This is our dry dock, and I really love this, you know, especially when you see these vessels being repaired in here. So obviously, when the vessel is coming in, it comes in right here, this gate opens, and then obviously all the water fills it up. And then, of course, you have to open it again to, of course, release all the water from that perspective. So Don John's really been able to use it. It's cool from the land perspective to see, but being able to stand, like, you know, right down here, it's amazing. And to have that, to be able, again, to allow us to repair these vessels is pretty nice. I mean, Don John, Carmuse, to have these partners that are experts in what they do make our lives easier as well. Let us, you know, be able to, you know, say that we are that operational port that we were created, you know, to be, but also to work with these partners that have these strong reputations in their industries as well is very, you know, very thankful for that. This is, you know, I think our biggest challenge that we have. This is the former Erie Coke property that we are so lucky to own as of May of this year. It was a focus of ours from our master plan from 2018. People say, why do you want that? We want it, I mean, first and foremost, from an eminent domain perspective, as you will see over here, obviously this is Erie Coke right here. This is our area over here. That is our East Ave boat launch. And as we go a little further, you'll see right here is our Lampe Marina. I'm already breaking this, wait a second. And this is over here is our campground. And then this is the terminal I've been talking about. So we have all of this property on both sides of it. And for us, we wanted to make sure we kept that under local control. People are like, great, what are you going to do? Well, first off, we're lucky to have a great partner of the Erie County Redevelopment Authority. To me, they're the local experts in remediation, cleanup from that perspective. We don't, you know, we're not experts, but we make sure we found the right partner. So working with Tina Mengine and her team, we're very lucky to have them as our partners. Right now, people say, but again, we want to see some progress. There's going to be progress, but as we all know, it's going to take so much time. I mean, the DEP, we're very lucky. You know, first off, you know, Environmental Protection Agency from the federal side has been, you know, involved and began their process of, you know, going through the site. But the DEP is still there testing. They're going to hopefully have a report coming out soon, hopefully this month. But they are there continuing testing to really see what we're working with from that perspective. And just to make sure we kind of have an understanding. Then it goes, of course, into the next step of, you know, cleanup and what are we going to do. So, I mean, we're asked every day, what are your plans? Our plans are to talk to the public, and we're going to start doing that with our master plan refresh and say, what would you think? I mean, nothing is carved in stone by any means, but let's have conversations as to what we can do. I think we owe it to this community. We owe it to the East Side to be able to say, you know, don't worry, we're not going to have a Coke, you know, factory there anymore. I do like saying that because people are like, I didn't know we made Coca-Cola on the Bayfront. I'm like, no, not that kind. The other kind of no. Like the coal byproduct for the big coal furnaces. I mean, you know, when they, I can think of as a kid, you know, I mean, just seeing that. And you know, folks, I have friends that had boats at Lampy, and their boats were covered in that coal and that soot. So when they closed in 2019, you know, thankful from that perspective. But again, it's just been a secured site that we want to eventually really dig into and see, you know, number one, DEP with their testing process, what we're working with there. But number two, working with our partner, the Redevelopment Authority. Millions of dollars. People say, what is the price tag? It's hard to say at this point in time. Could it reach $100 million? Of course it could. People say, well, where's that money going to come from? I mean, right now, we're lucky to have some PennDOT dollars to be able to work off of to go through the process from every legal aspect of condemnation and what have you, working with Tina and her team to secure dollars on both the federal and state level. But it's right now the focus is DEP allowing them to simply, you know, test throughout the entire footprint. And I mean, you look at that, and I love to show that aerial because it just, you're like, oh my goodness. I mean, everything's green or you know, greenish, and then you see that. It's, you know, 91 acres on the land, and then 91, you know, in the water. So all the water lots, you know, surrounding over here are all considered, you know, Erie Cove waters. And, you know, this photo was taken right after they had closed. I think this is right end of 2019. So, you know, there's been a lot that's been removed, you know, over here with the buildings from the EPA perspective, but there still is coal all throughout. This is a great photo. I love this photo here because this is this area right here. And as you can see, oh, wow, I mean, weeds are growing. It must be okay. We know it's not from that perspective, but this is all just piles and piles of coal. This here, I went on one tour and somebody said, wow, I didn't realize there was a bluff. I'm like, that is not a bluff. That is coal just piled up over the years from the Coke perspective. And so for us, it's, you know, again, we wanted to secure the property. We did. That was step one. Step two right now, again, allowing DEP to continue their testing for as long as they are, because in the end, we're able to save from that perspective. I mean, as we know, you know, with the DEP covers the entire Commonwealth, but for us, again, to get our fair share and to be able to have the DEP focused on that, we are so lucky. I think of, you know, oh gosh, even many years ago, you know, having conversations with Aaron Wells, who is the director, Northwest director of the DEP, and Tina Mengine and myself, when we all worked for the Shapiro, I'm sorry, for the Wolf administration, now Aaron working for the Shapiro administration. But when we all worked together, we had our eyes on this site from the beginning, saying we'd love to have that opportunity to make sure we secure it and find the way to be able to, you know, help the community. So we're lucky Governor Shapiro is very supportive of that in his administration, allowing DEP to continue to be there and continue to test from that perspective. So look for us to start having some conversations at the beginning of the year, some public sessions. You know, we had a public hearing on should we condemn, yes or no. I had to be honest, I was a little taken back by that. I thought we'd have lots of people voicing their concern, and we didn't have as many as I thought. So I hope the public is more engaged, and that is our goal, to make sure the public is with us every step of the way, offering their thoughts. We're a long ways away, again, decades before we can really make some progress, but for now, starting that planning process. Yes, ma'am. I'm happy to definitely, and again, to repeat it, make sure, Clark, that I'm doing the right thing, repeating it. You were saying to make it the Erie Coke, the former Erie Coke site, like a burial ground, if you will. Okay, green burial from that perspective. I mean, and again, I'm far from the expert from that perspective, but I do know that a lot of the issues are, you know, 6, 10, 12 feet, you know, underground. So it's something I could definitely have a discussion with from the DEP perspective, just to see. But for right now, we do have to test and really see, you know, where it's at and what we're dealing with there, because that you know, 100 years of that factory producing that you know, coal byproduct has definitely seeped in. But thank you. I appreciate you mentioning it. But look forward. There'll be more information. Everything's on our website, which I'll reference here shortly as well. But, you know, again, working with the DEP and the Redevelopment Authority, it's a true team effort from that perspective of just taking it step by step to make sure we're ready for those next steps. And with that, I'm pretty much wrapping up. And PortErie.org is our website. It's pretty cool to check. Like I said, if you go PortErie.org, recreational, down to Lampy Marina, and then you just scroll down, you can see our beautiful webcam. Again, I love watching that. Also, you can check out our campground. You can check out, we have a page there on Erie Coke, direct from the Redevelopment Authority and the DEP. So you're welcome to check that out as well. But I thank you again for your time, for dealing with me. I thank you, Gus, for not pushing me too much over here. I was able to stay steady. But I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Yes, Clark.
We have two historic sailing ships here in town, or we had. Does that have any involvement with your organization? The fact that we've lost the Niagara, or going to lose the Niagara, does that have any impact on how the Bayfront's going to be used? They had their own slip over there. Any changes in that?
So with the two vessels for the Letty G that we have currently docked over, that is currently docked, not that we have, the Letty G is currently docked at Dobbins Landing, and then PHMC and the flagship Niagara. It's a challenge, you know, for us. We're not really heavily involved. You know, the PHMC, I mean, they are not a tenant of ours. You know, obviously supportive, you know, for everyone's efforts from that perspective. The Letty G, I always like to say, I don't want to say tenant, but like partner as well. The Letty G with the flagship Niagara League and the Bayfront Maritime Center is our partner, just a little bit above us there on Holland. And obviously they utilize our area here to dock the boat from season to season. But it's something we, from the PHMC perspective, we have not been involved other than they would provide us, you know, some updates there. But again, we've had conversations with the Letty G and the Bayfront Maritime Center, because you're right, these are two vessels that bring a lot of tourists here and folks enjoy to see. And I love seeing even, you know, folks, wow, look at that beautiful boat. They're taking pictures, family photos when they're coming to visit. So, you know, we hope to be a partner with the Letty G going forward, and, you know, whatever, you know, PHMC would need from our perspective, looking to work with them as well. You know, PHMC with being from the state perspective, working with PennDOT, and kind of like a sister, I wouldn't say agency, but the relationship there, so we have to be mindful of that as well. But thank you. Good question. Yes, Blaine?
So in terms of the commercial shipping, the Great Lakes, and can we carve out a spot? We hope. I mean, you think of years ago when GE had the locomotives were going in and out. I mean, we're hoping, we're so excited with the news Wabtec just received with their funding. Could there be locomotives again? We hope. We'd like to have, you know, conversations with them over it. But there is an opportunity. I mean, for us, it's about making more space and creating additional room there for the terminal. People say, well, just use Erie Coke right now. No, not quite yet, but we have to find more area, as they say, the lay down space, you know, to be available from that perspective. And Blaine, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing too is that we've been working on, it's non-sexy, but it's stabilizing our seawalls, our dock walls, to make sure those boats can come and dock there. But you know, we had a chance. Obviously, we know how the, I don't know if anyone drove the parkway this morning and saw, unfortunately, the lights were on, flashing. People are like, wait a minute, is a train coming? There's no train coming. It was, I don't know how that happened. But we have left we had to advocate to CSX to leave those rail crossings intact, because we hope to be able to utilize, whether it's rail or the various different vessels, because there is an opportunity. We're just getting started with it, Blaine, to be honest with you. And that, for me, is one thing, like I said, from my previous hat of advocating in my relationships in D.C. and in Harrisburg, but also from the shipping perspective. So give us a little bit of time, but we'll get that going. Yes, Brian.
I know that the news from last night is still new, but do you expect the new administration, and specifically the expected loosening of EPA regulations, to affect your decisions in the upcoming years with the new property?
Reverend, that's a fantastic question with the EPA regulations. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, we were ready for whatever was going to happen from that perspective. Personally, I feel we're lucky to have a congressman like Congressman Mike Kelly, who's been very involved with the port, I mean, who really understands what we're doing from that perspective. I had a chance to sit down with him, you know, have many conversations on the phone, but in D.C., I've not expressed that exact concern, but he has been such a strong advocate for ours, where I'm hoping that can be helpful too. You know, looking forward to meeting Mr. McCormick. I have yet to meet him as our new senator. I have a very close relationship with Senator Fetterman, but it's going to be up to us to truly advocate and say, okay, this is what we need here, and this is why we think EPA is so important. But you're right, it's a lot to digest. Unsure of what's going to happen from that perspective, but I really think it comes down to our legislators really fighting for us and really explaining, because you think, oh, the issue is in New York City or out in California. It's like, oh, no, we have this here. And Reverend, just to expand on that a little bit, when I was in D.C. for the American Great Lakes Port Association and, you know, talking to Congressman Kelly, and he said, he's pointing around the room, he goes, this is why you need to be here. Michigan's here fighting. Wisconsin's here fighting. Everyone's fighting for their fair share and saying, this is what we need. Or, hey, EPA, we have this concern. DOT, we have this concern. He's like, we need to keep that going. So that's where I think that we can really have an opportunity to be at least heard and say why we need EPA. We're nervous about what could possibly happen, but I think, again, my experience from the government perspective is conversations matter, and really the facts and understanding that. I would find it hard to believe someone would turn their back on us from this perspective, but I think we have a pretty good case, and I'm thankful for, you know, our delegation, and look forward to meeting Senator-elect McCormick as well to really learn about how we can work together and advocate for this reason. But thank you for that. It's a great question. Tough one, but a great question. Anything else anyone's thinking of? Gus, you weren't going to hit me with a question. I mean, I've been preparing for this.
Well, I want to throw you softball, but I don't know.
I'm lucky to have a good partner with this guy. So, you know. But again, thank you for your time, and I hope I didn't bore you too much after this delicious lunch that we had. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Money Radio, WPSE's monthly broadcast of the Rotary Club of Erie meeting program at the Sheraton Erie Bayfront Hotel. You can replay this episode or access other archived shows by visiting the podcasts tab on our homepage.